What's up, everybody? Will Brinton here with another edition of the Roughing the Passer podcast. Hope you're all doing well as we hurtle towards Thanksgiving and a food coma coming from too much turkey and stuffing. Big show today, as usual. Every show is a big show. But this pretty excited today to do a little pre-Turkey Day preview. I got a couple picks I'll give you. And then we got two great guests. Phil Simms from the NFL on CBS will be calling the Panthers at Cowboys game at 4:30 on CBS Sports. That'll be your post-food coma kickoff party for a trio of games on Thursday. And then we got DeMarcus Ware, Broncos pass rusher, outside linebacker, who used to play for the Cowboys, knows a lot about that Dallas team, and has some good Thanksgiving stories. Maybe we'll see if we get a little insight from him into Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler. Anyway, my quick take on the picks for these three Thanksgiving games. I mean, to me, the hardest one to pick. I got two of my five best bets from this week are going to come out of Thanksgiving. You can look for those on CBSSports.com. But the first one's the hardest one to pick. I think Eagles at Lions. I'm gonna take the Eagles in this. I continue to go to this idiotic well that Chip Kelly is gonna manage to turn it around. I think Sam Bradford's gonna end up playing for them. That's a huge plus if you're Philadelphia. Maybe he can get Jordan Matthews going. They need to get DeMarco Murray going. They can beat this Lions team, but the Lions defense has been pretty good. Very odd that the Eagles are favored on the road here. It's very surprising to me. You would think the Lions would get the nod there, but who knows. I would stay away from that game if I was tangentially interested. As for the other two games, I love the Panthers -1 or a pick 'em, maybe even +1 depending on when you get it at Dallas. Look, Tony Romo coming back is huge, but this is a line that is dramatically altered, in my opinion, by the fact that there will be a lot of public money on the Cowboys, that people believe the Cowboys will turn the corner, that they'll be amped up for this Thanksgiving Day. But this is a Cowboys team. The Cowboys defense that gives up 4.2 yards per carry. Jonathan Stewart leads the NFL in missed tackles per Pro Football Focus. Cam Newton has as many rushing touchdowns, 6, as the Dallas Cowboys team does as a whole. And I think you're going to see as Phil Simms calls it, the meat and potatoes offense of the Carolina Panthers run through the Dallas Cowboys defense, and they'll ultimately get out of there with at least a 3-point victory. And then on Thursday night, the Packers are going to bloodbath the Bears in a bad way. I mean, it's just Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers kind of got right. The Bears have been a little frisky lately, but I think you're going to see another typical Aaron Rodgers game against a team that he has dominated. Jay Cutler traditionally doesn't play well against the Bears. I love the Packers getting 9 points here. Anyway, enough about what I got to say. Those are your picks, though, your locks for Thanksgiving in case you needed some help with those. There are other great podcasts on the site that you can listen to get daily fantasy stuff. There's a Daily Fantasy Live podcast with Heath Cummings and Chris Towers. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, and Heath, and all those guys do the Fantasy Football Today podcast to help you get ready to set your lineups, so make sure and check those out. And, of course, if you subscribe to this podcast, the Roughing the Passer podcast, via iTunes, you'll get our picks, our weekend preview. I'll have Pat Kerwin, Nick Costas, Pete Prisco, myself, looking at all the games coming up for the weekend. And then the Monday review with Brady Quinn, Pat, and Pete takes a look at the biggest issues in the NFL stemming from all the action coming from Sunday's games. So make sure and subscribe to all of those via iTunes. Great stuff. And, of course, Sportsline, $9.99. or $10 a month. But it's dirt cheap. They got A picks. They're on fire with their NBA picks. Well above 50%. I think it's well above 60% on NFL and college with the A picks this year too. They're doing really well, so you should check that out. And without further ado, Phil Simms from the NFL on CBS, who will be calling the Cowboys-Panthers games on Thursday.
Quite a matchup. The Carolina Panthers undefeated. Who nobody would have seen that, and the Dallas Cowboys, even more, maybe more surprisingly, somehow still in the playoff race, right?
Well, that's an interesting thing. Yes, I guess you can say that, and it's never over till it's over is the model the Cowboys got to live by. There's no doubt about that, and I think if you made me say one way or the other, I think they have to run the table to keep the playoff hopes alive, and that's even when everything is going your way, that's hard to do in the NFL. So it's a tough task to hit for them, no question.
You know, and the return of Tony Romo on Sunday, is it, I mean, is it the sort of thing, because I mean, to me, you looked at this Cowboys team, and for as much talent as they'd accrued, they still had this leadership void. Is Tony Romo's return enough to kind of galvanize that team and give them a shot at you know, at least a long shot at running the table?
Well, listen, his return is going to help, no question. You know, I think it does give the team confidence that, okay, you know, deep down it can affect you how you practice, knowing that the most important part of your team is there. But I think the biggest thing is that, yeah, it gives you a little confidence, but his biggest thing that he brings to the football team is his talent. That's what they need. They need his talent to make those one or two or three plays that the other quarterbacks can't make to win you football games. So it's going to be a tough task on Thursday, no doubt about it. Carolina is a big physical team, and it's going to take – the Dallas Cowboys have to play awfully well to beat the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I've been amazed going back and looking, particularly the last 2 weeks, at what the Panthers have done in terms of their rushing attack, because I think Mike Shula probably got a bad rep as being and guilty as charged here, but, you know, as being a vanilla play caller. And it's not exotic the way he's building out these run schemes, but he's really got this offensive. I mean, this offensive line is playing incredibly well. And with Cam Newton there, it seems to me this is a real throwback team, right?
I think that's a good way of saying it. I think what has happened, you know, to be a good running football team, you just can't say we're going to do it and it happens. You have to practice it. You have to keep doing it in football games. You got to have success and great repetitions on it to get to a point where you can do what they're doing. And maybe the genius of Mike Shula is that they built the team and Ron Rivera that simple. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not that complicated on the offensive side. They're not trying to show you, you know, 15 new formations every week and move everybody around. The fact that they can run it so well with a running quarterback makes the throwing game simple, simple in philosophy, hard physically, because it's downfield throwing, and it all works well together. It's well put together on the offensive side, but the whole team fits together. The offense matches the defense, or vice versa, however you want to say it. But it's, of course, being 10-0, you can't do better than that.
That absolutely right. Are you surprised at the evolution of Cam Newton into this? I mean, to me, he's a top three MVP candidate this year, along with Carson Palmer and Tom Brady. I'm personally surprised. Even I live in North Carolina, and I see how polarizing Cam is. But his development as a pocket passer, to me, has been one of the biggest surprises of the last 5 years in the NFL.
Well, I'll just say this, and I remember when he came out, and people said all these things, and I said, I don't know what they're looking at. You know, look, I'm wrong sometimes too. But I never saw a quarterback that was, even in college, that was looking to run as he dropped back. I thought the times, even when he was at Auburn, and of course, think about physically how much better he was than those players where he can run the way he does in the NFL. But he only ran when you forced him to run. And I noticed that in college. It's still the same thing. He buys as much time as he can to throw the football, will hang in the pocket, will drift. Do all the things that you see from a quarterback who can't run. And I always say, if I could run like him, man, I'd look at one guy and I'd take off. But he's been disciplined. He has no fear. And when you put all that together, that's why they have an offense that's working the way it does. It's, like, again, not razzle-dazzle, a lot of meat and potatoes. But, man, there's enough there to feed a lot of people, I'll say that.
That's a very good Thanksgiving note there.
There you go. That's right.
I'm looking at this all-iron, your MVP list since 98. I mean, this is a who's who. You got Peyton Manning on there. Tony Romo, I think, has won three times, unless I'm counting that wrong. It might be four. Tom Brady as well, DeMarcus Ware, Matt Schaub, Andre Johnson, J.J. Watt, all multiple-time winners, and then Calvin Johnson last year. What is it about, I mean, these Thanksgiving Day games that inspires the best in these players when they step on the field?
Well, I think players are all almost all athletes, I should say, have a little bit, I want to be on the, you know, center stage. And I think they all love it when they're the only thing that's going on. There's no other games going on at 4:25 or whatever the exact time of our start is on Thursday. They know that it's the only game the fans can watch at home. But they know that a lot of the other players in the league, coaches will be watching them, and that's an inspiring thing. And that's hey, look, you can go both ways. You can be a star, or you can be the person, you know, that loses the game too. But I think all players just want that opportunity to go out there and show everybody what they can do.
Yeah, it's wild to see. And you see some of the names, too, that pop up that I didn't mention. I mean, Joey Harrington, Ron Dane, Charlie Batch, Stephen Boyd in 98. What's one of the more memorable?
Stephen, yeah. Oh, no, I was going to tell you. You know, it's funny. When it says all iron, it's a play on words. We started the show and the whole idea, I can't remember the exact year now, but we started it because they used to make fun of the fact, the people I work with, that I iron my own clothes, you know, when I travel. And I said, well, how do y'all get your clothes ironed? They go, well, we send them out to get them pressed. I went, well, that would never occur to me. So that's how it all kind of started, you know, a little tongue in cheek. And then Stephen Boyd, to this day, is still the greatest winner. Because I did it, I wanted a guy that was just all in, you know, this and that. And Stephen Boyd, we were in Detroit, wasn't going to play. He was hurt. All of a sudden, I see he's in the starting lineup. He plays great. He does a few things. They're kicking the field goal. There's 10 people on the field. Stephen Boyd runs out there, throws his helmet on, becomes number 11. He wasn't even on the field goal kicking team. And I just went, wow, he's everything that we want. To talk about and be in this award. So that's how it kind of started. And, of course, over time, it's hard to find that Stephen Boyd of a game. So we just turn it into whoever plays the best, the biggest star, whatever, however you want to say it for the game, that's who we give it to.
Well, it's a blue-collar award for a blue-collar holiday, right? I mean, that's the sort of thing you're looking
at. Well, that's a good way of put, but it is blue-collar. That's what it was. You know, we wanted to give praise to the people that never get it. And, you know, we let the fans vote on it now. So that's going to lend itself. But there's been many years where I went, man, let's just give it to one offensive lineman and let him give a trophy to everybody else. You know, like, or whatever it is, maybe the secondary, you know, who knows what it could be. But we haven't done it as much because everybody wants somebody that they know the name of. And of course, the fans are not going to vote for the Carolina Panthers or the Dallas Cowboys offensive line if we put it up there as one of the people to vote for. So it is what it is, but it works out well. And the one thing I always try to explain during the game, don't like to spend a lot of time on it, just what it stands for and how it came about.
Yeah, the fans aren't voting for the Trey Turners of the world, unfortunately, even though he's deserving. What's it like to spend Thanksgiving on the road? It's become, for you, I assume it's a borderline tradition and sort of, you know, scheduling thing at this point. But is it odd being on the road for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I guess it is. I it's 21 straight years on the road, I think.
Wow.
It is. I'm just putting it, I think. It's 21 years I haven't been home for Thanksgiving, so... you know, I don't think a lot about it. It's, in other words, yeah, I miss my family. They understand. They'd better have me here doing this than being home with them because it means I'm still working. I got a great job. And, you know, we celebrate when I get home, whenever that is. So I won't be home Thanksgiving weekend either this year, but, you know, we'll still sit down as a family when I get a weekend off here in a few weeks, and we'll probably have a dinner and celebrate it like a Thanksgiving Day. And I'm going to tell you what, the food tastes just as good then as it would on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, that's a great point. And Phil, I would say too, that I know that you got, that everybody, you know, within the CBS broadcast family, that everybody that works on the show, you can see a genuine family atmosphere whenever the TV goes behind the scenes and shows all the people working on the truck and how well everybody plays together.
Well, yeah, it does take it. You know, there's lots of similarities, of course, in every job in life, I guess. You know, playing football and playing sports and organization and working together is the same thing. And, you know, it seems like that's the same thing in everything I do in life. You know, my family, my job, whatever it is, you know, all the principles that you, you know, it isn't a cliche when you talk about all the principles you learn in football, they do carry over in one form or another in your life, your job, and with your family, and it's a great thing.
All right. Well, hey, Phil, we really appreciate you joining the show. Thank you so much for the time. I know you're busy. Thanksgiving Day, the CBS game, of course, 4:30 Carolina at Dallas on CBS, the NFL on CBS. Phil, now on Twitter, at Phil Sims QB. Thank you so much for taking the time, Phil.
Well, my pleasure. Great to be on. Thank you. And I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving Day myself. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. Great stuff from Phil Sims there. Look, I Thanksgiving football, I mean, I would be dead serious when I say that, you know, the stuff about the family thing, my favorite tradition, like ever dealing with my, you know, family stuff was we would go to lunch and have this huge covered dish thing down in Florida with like 200 relatives on my mom's side of the family. We'd go to lunch and we would finish up and we would, you know, you'd eat from 12 to 2. And then you would get back and I would sit there and my grandfather and I would both pass out on the couch watching the 4:30 game. I you know, did that for like 25 years. I will never forget doing, always think about him. Now, whenever Thanksgiving is here. So very cool stuff from Phil. We also talked to DeMarcus Ware, former Cowboys linebacker and defensive end who went to the Broncos. He's having a very good year playing, hurt right now, dealing with a back injury, but some insight into his injury, his health, and of course the quarterback situation there and how he's chasing various other sack meisters around the NFL.
Hey, DeMarcus, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Will? What you doing, man?
Not much. Just sitting up in my office wishing I had central heat up here because it's a little chilly in North Carolina, but probably.
Hey, you better get your mind right. You better put that scarf on, man.
That's exactly right. I got to get a little more fashionable to keep warm. Well, I want to ask you first of all, how's the back feeling? I know you hated to miss the game against Chicago, but the Broncos picked up a win. Is it a bonus when your team wins and you didn't have to get out there at 80% or 75% or whatever you were?
I think it's a bonus when your team wins in general. But you know, for me, it's a day to day process for me to where you do your treatment and see how it assesses the next day, and it's been progression each and every day, and trying to get ready for this week if God's willing.
Is there a different level of management when it comes to dealing? I mean, like I'm 34 and I do like physical therapy for my back because I'm getting older and I don't play football. Is there a different level of pain management and like risk of, risk management and all that stuff, as you get a little bit older in this game?
I think you take it as you got to think about the structure first, but then the functionality of everything and, how things work and how your body is progressing. And so you just got to, take things slowly and make sure things heal the right way so you don't, have setbacks like I did and not playing right now. And you have to think about, the timing of the season and when things are very, very important to go out there and play. I thought you was 27 years old. I thought you said you were 34. I thought you was 27.
No, God, I wish I was 27. 27-year-old me can bounce back easy. 34, man. I tell you what, once you hit the mid-30s, it's all over.
Hey, I feel you, man. I feel you.
It's tough out here for us old folks. Speaking of old folks, Peyton Manning didn't play. Brock Osweiler is going to start a second game. How are the Broncos responding to Brock Osweiler as the starting quarterback?
I'm just glad that, when you think about, Brock Osweiler, you think about Peyton Manning, you think about, the sensei and you think about the pupil. I mean, he's learned very well and, they put him in after, Peyton got hurt in that Kansas City game and he played really well. And now he got his first win on his birthday, against Chicago. And that was just a really big opportunity for him to go out there and show what he can do. And he did really well. But also, getting those wins and now getting some of the veteran guys back like me, Peyton, and Emmanuel, guys that, were hurt a little bit. And knowing that you have guys that can get out there and play and do what we do, and while we heal and get ready for that second part of the season.
I mean, everybody, I don't want to put you in a tough spot because I know, you're a defensive player, but everybody kind of wants to know, when Peyton's healthy, is it still his team? I mean, how does that work with this sort of, functionality and relationship at the quarterback position?
I think the thing is the team chooses you, and from the beginning of the season, we've chosen him as our captain like they chose me as the defensive captain, and you're always going to be that. So you just got to make sure that, you know, you get your body back and come back the right way so you can lead the team to a victory.
How is it joining up with a young guy like Von Miller and getting to reunite with Wade Phillips in that defense that, you know, you've played so many different spots in terms of like the 3-4 outside linebacker and the 4-3. Is this 3-4 with Wade Phillips and working with a guy like Von your preferred spot to be at this point?
I think it is. It's sort of where I've, you know, eaten my steak and potatoes in football and, you know, just not being a 4-3 defensive end, but a stand-up outside linebacker. Vaughn is that pinnacle guy that sort of fits that description. And now with Wade Phillips, he, you know, helping us, you know, be, you know, better players where we can, you know, use our athleticism to rush the passer and to make big plays. And you can see that from the defense around the board.
Thanksgiving's coming up. You've had many a game Thanksgiving because of all the time that you spent in Dallas. What's your favorite football Thanksgiving memory?
I think my favorite football Thanksgiving memory probably were my kids on the sideline when I won the Gobbler Award one time, and I had to, you know, maybe eat a piece of that big maybe turkey leg. And my kids were on the sideline because I had a suite on the sideline in Dallas. And they asked me, how did I get a chicken leg that big, and can they have one? I mean, just little small things like that you remember about little memories, especially with your kids, that's very important. I think that was probably one of my big memories.
I think you won an All-Iron Award from Phil Simms one time, too, right?
Yeah.
You know, we got Phil Simms, CBS guy. I got to get the plug in there. Are you surprised that the Cowboys have kept Greg Hardy on their roster as long as they have? And would you be okay playing with Greg Hardy?
I mean, I think he's a great player. And, I mean, you know, the Cowboys, they give a lot of people second chances. And he's doing what he needs to do to be effective out there and also do good things off the field.
You are are you motivated at all by the idea of, because you're doing this Prilosec thing, and Jared Allen is another guy who's doing it. Are you motivated at all by trying to catch Jared Allen in the active sack leaders?
You know, the thing is, you know, with Jared Allen, we always have this little friendly competition, you know, with each other. But I always feel like I come out on top, and I always win. So, I'll tell him the same thing. So, you know, we are in competition, but it's a friendly competition. And what the main thing is, we're just trying to get a lot of people to, you know, give back in the community and go to youcan'tbeat0.com and have a little niche in your own community to give back. And because Prilosec already donated 1 million meals already. They've already stepped up to the plate, and they've teamed up with the NFL already. So now we're trying to tell people, hey, you can also go to youcan'tbeatsecond.com to also try to win a Super Bowl ticket and try to get in that thing. So why not?
Yeah, and you're doing work with I think it's Chef Troy Gard and donations can go specifically from the work you're doing to the Food Bank of the Rockies in Denver, which is very cool. So you are on a defense that is considered one of the best in the NFL. And I think a lot of people, the way they've been writing, maybe consider it one of the best ever. Is this the best defense you've ever played on?
I think this is the best defense I've played on. In 2013, it was a really good defense in Dallas. But, you know, this Denver Bronco defense, we're trying to really bring that orange crush back. And so we've been trying to, you know, be the pinnacle, you know, defense that, you know, Denver's always, you know, had. So we're just trying to, you know, model ourselves after that defense, and we've been playing really well this season and look forward to, you know, many great games to come.
Yeah, it's wild, too, because you look at it and there's balance across the, you know, across the board on the defense with, the defensive line, the pass rushers, the linebackers, the cornerbacks. What is the best position group on the defense?
Say again?
Which position group is the best on this defense?
You know, the thing is, I'm not going to be selfish to say the outside linebackers. I'm going to say the corners are the best.
Wow.
Yeah, the corners are the best position on the team because those are the guys that I'm going to give them a little bit of props. They're the guys that hold up, you know, those wide receivers, give the, you know, the pass rushers a little bit more extra time to get to the quarterback. So I would say that the corners, so, you know, give them a little bit more little bit more slap on the back and say, you know, keep holding those guys up while we keep sacking the quarterback.
Not just a good player, a humble teammate too. All right, DeMarcus, thanks so much. Thanks so much for your time, man. And hopefully we'll get to see you on the field next week against the Patriots.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's it for the show. Great stuff from DeMarcus Ware as well. Phil Sims, we really appreciate Phil Sims, DeMarcus coming on. As always, subscribe via iTunes if you'd like future episodes sent directly to your ears, to your phone. Every morning you could wake up and go exercise or not exercise and listen to the show or every, you know, a couple times a week. You can follow me on Twitter at Will Brinson. And I hope everybody has a happy holidays and enjoys the football on Thanksgiving.